This morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. You can find this on page 1572 in the Pew Bible. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of God for the people of God. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Have you ever wondered what sound grace makes? What does grace sound like? In Job, we see a conversation between Job and his friends. Job's friends are a bit ridiculous. They give all sorts of terribly condescending speeches and bad advice until God finally breaks in and says, "Enough!" And God has an in-depth conversation with Job. It's not really what we might always think of as being grace, but think about that. Job is having a terrible time. His friends aren't helping. He's having a really hard time understanding the things that are going on around him, and God breaks in. God talks Job through this, and in the end, Job is not just restored to his former wealth and happiness. He's done so, having learned life-changing lessons in the meantime. Grace for Job sounded like learning some hard lessons about God's reassurance that he'd get through, and God is always there. It sounded like understanding himself and God and his fellow humans by walking through the pits of despair. For the blind man in Mark, whose only name we're told is the son of Timaeus, grace sounded like Jesus telling the crowd to stop shooing that blind man away. "Call him here," Jesus says. The miraculous healing wasn't the moment when Jesus really showed his grace and love to this man. The moment that Jesus' grace and love were revealed was the moment in which he called out to a man that everyone else wanted him to ignore. How sweet that sound must have been. After years of being ignored and pushed aside and told to shush, how sweet Jesus' voice must have been. "That saved a wretch like me," Job says in other parts of the book, that he's like a worm and he wishes he was never born. He knew the depths of despair And that's where he learned the most about God. That is where Job was when he heard grace. And the blind man, he was despised by others, forgotten by society. He was told by many, stop bugging Jesus. They not only didn't see him as being worthy of their time, they assumed he wasn't worthy of God's time either. And yet, he bore a witness that never could have happened if he'd been able to see in the first place. Too often we try to simply push past or ignore the hard times. We pretend that we're not in a dark place or that everything is okay when it is anything but okay. But friends, that's part of our story. It's not part that God causes or likes, but the depths, the wretchedness, they stink and they aren't what God intended for us, but they are part of our story. They are part of who we are. It's not grace that saved a wretch like that guy over there. It's not grace that saved the grand and powerful. It's grace that saved a wretch like me, like each of us. I once was lost, but now I'm found. God doesn't leave us wandering in the dark and in the pain and in the suffering. God does not endorse our suffering or cause it or want us to go through hard times as some sort of punishment or lesson. It's okay to be mad about bad stuff happening. Tell God you're mad. That's what Job did. It's okay. And know that God hears you. He hears your lament. Know that in the darkness, God will meet you and lead you out. Just as he led Job out from the depths of his lament and despair, just as he led the blind man out from the corners of society. Was blind, but now I see. Bartimaeus received actual physical sight from Jesus, but that wasn't the most important part of his healing. Notice what he did at the end of the story. He didn't run around looking at everything with his newly functional eyes. He didn't start a new ministry based around the memoir he wrote about being healed of his blindness. He dropped everything and followed Jesus. More important than Jesus healing his physical eyes was the forgiveness and the grace and the spiritual healing that he found. He was healed before his physical sight was restored. The greatest sight he saw that day, the first day that he was able to see, was Jesus. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. It seems like a strange idea that grace would teach us to fear. Why would it be gracious to teach us to fear and then just take that fear away? What's the point? Why not just save us the trouble and never teach us fear? Sometimes we, like Job, need to be shaken up a little bit and reminded who is really at the helm of things. We see at the beginning of our passage from Job that he has been truly shaken by God's response to his anger and lament. In these dark times, he needed to learn the lesson of the difference between healthy fear, the knowledge of our God-given place in the scheme of things, an unhealthy fear stemming from reliance on stuff and circumstance and success and having. His life was even richer than before at the end of the story. We see that he indeed regained his physical wealth and then some. He had more sons and daughters and grandchildren, but that's not the real wealth that Job has gained. He has been freed from the prison of fear. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Bartimaeus was also imprisoned by fear. In his time and his place, he would have been a beggar on the side of the street. He was pushed so far to the edges of everyone's hearts and minds that they told him to shush when he cried out to Jesus for healing. But he knew. He understood how precious that grace was when Jesus called out and told the people, "Send him over." He threw down his cloak. As a blind beggar, that was probably his only possession. And yet, seeming to know that nothing was the same again after hearing grace call out, that his old life was over and a new one was starting, that nothing could compare in beauty or worth or hearing the voice of Jesus call out to him, he tossed that cloak on the ground as though it didn't matter. He tossed everything he had, everything that represented his old life, and ran to follow Jesus before his physical sight was restored. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace, amazing grace, will lead me home. The book of Job ends after this on this pretty happy note. Job is restored to his former prosperity, but he's never promised that nothing else hard will happen in his life. We know that overall things looked up from there, but it would be crazy to assume that things were all roses from that point on. It's entirely possible and even likely that what we see in the book of Job was the darkest time in his life. But just as the hymn says, grace has brought me through the dark times, the fear, the difficult circumstances, and grace will keep leading me home. We're not through it until we're home. We don't see an ending to Bartimaeus' story either. He follows Jesus, and we never hear of him again. It's probably safe to assume that this was the climax of his life, the time when everything turned around for him, but it's also probably safe to assume that after he was miraculously healed and was ushered into light by the Savior Jesus, life went on. We know that things weren't easy for any of the disciples or followers of Christ, especially after his earthly death. But just as grace has seen us through in the past, just as grace saw Job through, just as grace saw Bartimaeus through, grace will see us home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to see praise than when we'd first begun. As we prepare to celebrate All Saints' Day this coming week, we remember all of the loved ones who have gone before us, all of the loved ones who will go after us. We remember the promise that one day we will join them in the choirs of heaven and will praise God forever. We will join Job and Bartimaeus in the choirs of heaven. All those who have walked this journey with grace just as we have. All those who have followed the sweet, sweet sound of grace calling. My friends, grace is calling each one of us. In spite of what others might say to quiet our response, grace is calling. And in the grace of Jesus, we are offered healing and sight, direction and comfort. We are given a hand up from the pits of despair, and we are led home. Amazing grace. How sweet that sound. Amen.